1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. After a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place behind the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 10, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. Verse 11, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, and he will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Oh, dear! This just can't be a hippie in church. Just saying. Little humor there. Yeah, as a sign, his hair will never be cut. And she was praying to the Lord, and Eli watched her in verse 13. Verse 14, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she'd been drinking. Must you come in here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Verse 15, oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged. I am pouring out my heart to the Lord. 16, don't think I am a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. 17, in that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you the request you have asked him. Verse 18. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. What was going on? She received a word from God, and she no longer felt the anguish. Isn't that awesome? And it brought peace to her. Verse 20, and in due time, she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. Verse 24, when the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a three-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. Verse 25, after sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy Eli. Verse 26, sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has been granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Then Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer to my enemies. By the way, for a woman to be barren was not a good thing, and in Hannah's case, the women around her were continuously mocking her for her barrenness. She felt less than. That was part of her dilemma when she was in the temple praying. I rejoice because you have rescued me. Verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Verse 11, then Elkanah returned home to Ramah without Samuel, and the boy served the Lord, listen to this, by assisting Eli the priest. Now, I don't know what all that looked like at that time, but Eli, his assistant, was Samuel. He was around Samuel. He walked with Samuel. He served with Samuel. He almost became, as I can say it like this, say, Eli. Eli was served by Samuel. It was almost like Samuel was his protege. Now, Eli had two sons. And those boys did not do good. They did not serve the Lord as they should have. They were doing things with the offerings. They were doing things with the monies that would come in that were not godly. And Eli knew it. He would not discipline his sons. And God said that his family would be cut off. And in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. I don't know why Eli did not want to discipline his boys. I do know that Samuel was a very special boy to Eli. But the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. He served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. Verse 2, one night Eli was almost blind by now. He had gone to bed, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Verse 4 says, suddenly the Lord called out. What did he say? Samuel! Yes, Samuel says. Samuel replied, what is it? And he got up and he runs to Eli. Hineni, here am I. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replies. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel! And again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, Hineni. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. How can you serve in the temple, and yet not know the word of the Lord? It's quite possible. It was obviously with Samuel. In all his serving, listen, you can be in church since you were small. You can know how to do church and yet not know the voice of the Lord. And yet, just like the prophets of old, just like the believers in the old, it doesn't even say that Noah was necessarily doing priestly works, but yet God would speak to him. And personally, I believe that God is speaking to us all the time. We're just not hearing. It's a good thing to say to the Lord, open my ears, I want to hear your voice. Open my eyes so that I can see what it is you're doing. Soften my heart so that I can respond to your love and be healed. We all go through all kinds of different things in our lives that kind of stop up our hearing and kind of stop up that relationship. And we need to be healed. Now, I don't have time to elaborate on the scriptures that we've read so far. But I'm captivated by this thought. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Wow. Again, how in the world do you go to church and do church and yet not know the voice of the Lord? When this is a relationship thing, you know, just because I have a document that says we are married does not necessarily mean that we have a good relationship. That relationship has to be built on communication. I have to take some time to get to know my wife and my wife to know me. Interesting. So, verse 8, so the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli and says, Hineni, here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Verse 9, so he said to Samuel, go and lay down again. And if someone calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back, and the Lord came to him and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. Verse 12, I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from the beginning to the end. Verse 13, I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons were blaspheming God and he hasn't taken discipline. I'm captivated by this thought of Eli obviously knew the voice of God. God had spoken to him what God was going to do, especially in the fact that he had not disciplined his kids. Eli had obviously been not only groomed in the temple service, but he had spent so much time that he, obviously, if you read the scriptures before then, you find out that God did speak to Eli. Wow. This is awesome to me. Because here, we have the necessity, we have the example, if you will, of somebody older have had the experience of hearing the voice of God, and a younger generation, inexperienced, perhaps doing the church ministry, but not hearing. Whew, this is big. Okay. Because we have to have the older generation working with the younger generation. The older generation have already responded, Hineni, here am I. And sometimes we think, I'm old, I have nothing to give. Yes, you do. We have a younger generation that doesn't know the voice of God. They can do all the church ministry, but they do not have the experience of knowing God's voice. Do you know what I mentioned, Pastor, or Brother Don, when he was so passionate about MAC missions? That passion, you know, we talk about passion, but God wants us to have passion for him. He is so passionate to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. It's about a relationship with Almighty God. And that relationship is for everyone. It's open to whosoever. And, you know, the millennials, we were doing some study, and the millennials are a generation. You know, mid-90s. And then there's the Generation X that people talk about. And what I discovered was, the generation behind us really do. They've discovered that they really do want to sit down with the older generation and have conversation. We think, well, they don't really want us around. We're old. We've got nothing to give them. Oh, yes, you do. You have so much to give them. The younger generation are actually crying out. When you read the scripture, you find out that even the older women are to teach the younger women. And it's so important for us. We need older people who are in the know to instruct the younger. Not just in hearing from God, but from in how to intercede for their generation. To even intercede for the older generation. Samuel was given information, the very first word from God. He was given information of how God was going to deal with Eli's older generation family. This is hard stuff. But we think sometimes that we get to be 50, say, and we're ready for tours, bus tours. We're ready for, you know, board games, shuffleboard. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just saying that we're ready to sit back and relax. We've already lived our life. And yet God has something so very different in mind for us. You know, not so very long ago, there was a 95-year-old gentleman that crossed the finish line of a marathon. 95 years old. What are you running a marathon for? He's done it for quite a number of years. He started when he was 80 years old. Started when he was 80 years old. And we go, what's wrong with you, man? When you get old, you're not supposed to be doing that. Sit in a chair. Okay. But at 80 years old, he begins to the thoughts of running a marathon. And when he's 95, he crosses the finish line. I think that's awesome. See, we figure we have nothing left. And really, God knows what you have left in you that God wants to instill in the younger generation. Hebrews chapter 2 says, verse 14, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as human beings could he die, and only as dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. 16. We also know the Son of God, the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help descendants of Abraham. 17. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could come and be our merciful and faithful high priest before. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. We go, what in the world did you include that verse for? Because really, we're supposed to be like Jesus. Somebody, the younger crowd do not know how to handle this Christian life. You know, I don't know why it is that there are so many people that feel beat up in church. There's some people that just don't want to be a part of church anymore. They've done church. They've never heard the voice of God. And somebody says something because they've never heard that voice. They haven't really established that relationship. Somebody says something and they're right out the door. I'll never forget, we were at a church visiting, actually. We were just there in the service and they called up some of those that were ministers to come and help around the altar. And we did, and there was a young fellow that stood before me that had been hurt so very much in church. He had actually done ministry, he'd been out in ministry, and it was in ministry that he was hurt. Quite a bit younger than I. But I'm standing there and the Lord says to me, repent. And I'm thinking, repent. ask forgiveness. I'm going, what? I didn't understand what was going on. But I needed to speak something into his life that would bring freedom to him from his hurt. He had heard the voice of God before. I knew that. But he didn't know how to handle the turmoil and the struggles and the stuff that was in him. Can I say this? Sometimes we do not understand some of the things that we go through, even though we're older in the Lord. We just don't understand some of the stuff. And I've discovered that most times it's really not about us. Oh, yes, God is working in our hearts and in our lives and trying to clean us and trying to grow us up, and I get that. But sometimes it really is not about us. It's about stuff in his kingdom. So I stood there and while he was standing before me, and I said to him, forgive me. On behalf of the leadership, now I didn't know his background. I didn't know what had happened till afterward. On behalf of the leadership, I'm sorry for what we have done to you to wound you. Was this stuff about me? No, it wasn't. But you see, I knew the voice of God. I had to speak the voice of what God was telling me. And the moment I said, on behalf of the leadership that's been in your life, not only do I repent, but I am so sorry. Was this stuff mine? Did I actually do it? Actually, what is interesting is I would say it's the only thing I knew that this was like intercession. I was interceding. I was standing in the place of another that had wronged him. I don't understand it all. I just did what I felt I should. And it was so interesting. The moment I got it out of my mouth, he hit the floor like a rock and began to sob and to sob and to sob and to sob. See, this thing is not just about us. It's about the kingdom of God and bringing resolve to the kingdom. And when you are older, there are some things that you've been through that sometimes you just need to speak to the younger crowd about how to get through this, how to get through the offense. See, we're necessary. We are a necessary part. Next week, we'll be talking a little about how this thing works. I really don't have time to develop it today, but how that there are many different parts in the body, and the younger crowd are as much a part of the body as we are. And just because we are older in the Lord, you know, yes, they might have accepted, in fact, they probably, some of them do, they just accept Christ. And by the way, Wilma, you can get that video ready for us. And it was interesting how, you know, they've been hurt so much, but they don't know how to handle their hurt. They hear the voice of the Lord, but they don't know what to do with it. You see, we have wisdom in our years, and we ought to instruct them and to tell them. That's what Eli did. He instructed Samuel in what to do. Little illustration before we go to a different part of the service. You know, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus instructed a couple of guys to go, and straightway in verse 2, he tells them to go into the village over there against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man says anything to you, you just say that the Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell your daughter of Zion, behold, my king comes unto thee meek and sitting on an ass and a colt and the foal of an ass. Now, you say, Pastor Ron, what does this have to do with anything? Most of the time we think about Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. But this scripture actually tells us that it was on a donkey, mother, and her colt. And Jesus actually rides on the back of the two, which was fascinating. You see, we have to have the older and the younger. And personally, I believe in this last day that when Jesus comes back, that there's going to be great unity between the older generation and the younger generation, which is awesome. Just the same that Jesus came on the back of a donkey and her colt. See, God is going to represent himself with the two generations. And they may not be like you. They may even have the long hair like Samuel. They may even have different music. You see, we're just unsure. Unrest comes because we're not really sure how to deal with them and all their music and their hairstyles and everything else. We're not sure how to deal with that. We're going to share with you next week how what that looks like. But here it is. We want to show you a clip of some young people that are worshiping and praising the Lord. Okay.
For God so loved.
What you have just heard, a song that was written by a young person that obviously loves the Lord and shared a very meaningful song. Yes, there are lights and there are instruments and there is, you know, music. Do I necessarily like all the lights and all that? No. But I recognize that this is a generation that also loves the Lord. And they're presenting the gospel in a very simple song, a hymn-like song. I think it's awesome. A hymn-like song that they've written. Terry, who's the other gentleman that's going to come and help us with this? Please come. I think this is awesome. And I know we have a few moments of... Would you go ahead and distribute this, and I'll just keep talking, gentlemen. That actually, the communion service is a commemoration of Jesus' death and his resurrection, but his body was broken and his blood was shed to make us the sons of God. But there is actually another aspect of the communion time that is so interesting to me, because there is also covenant. Jesus said, this is the new covenant, you see. In the early church, they would partake of communion, but it was actually a sign of covenant, because based on Jesus' sacrifice for sin, based on that sacrifice, we can get together and we can celebrate all together different generations. Now, a covenant in those days was very meaningful. It wasn't something that you were in one day and out of the next. It was a commitment, if you will. You see, it was a commitment. Yes, again, it was all about Jesus' death and resurrection. But because of his death, because of the payment price that he made for us, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that whosoever included our generation, the younger generation, and even the generation of those kids that are downstairs. Wow. I almost wish the kids were here from downstairs to help participate in this time together. This is so awesome. We say, those little kids cannot understand about this covenant relationship. They don't understand about what God did. It's amazing what children can understand. Glory to God. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this time together. Glory to Jesus. See, they were actually having supper together called the Passover. Sure, you guys can sit down. They were actually celebrating Passover. It was the last time that Jesus was going to sit down and eat with them after supper. Jesus, Bible says he broke bread and he distributed. And we may have a little piece of bread, but actually Jesus took matzah and he broke it. A lot of symbolism in that matzah. And he said, this is part of the new covenant. I gave my life, and this is a representation of what I gave. I gave my life. And he said, take this bread, take it. in remembrance of me. Because what he had done was he was establishing a new covenant. Let's partake together. Now, Jesus actually, the Bible does say that he blessed the bread. But then again, it says in like manner, the same way, they took the cup. Do you understand that Jesus, and I know you do, that Jesus did this sacrifice for us. And he wants us to, in turn, to instruct the younger generation to partake. Matter of fact, they got together, the early church got together. They went from house to house. They celebrated together. Do you know they had communion? Oh dear, we're not supposed to do that outside of church. Well, that's what they did, the early church. It was all about fellowship. It was all about community. It was all about family. It was all about the process. In fact, what happened was the Bible says that the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. They were dealing with all the stuff, all the hurts, all the... They actually had the ministry of reconciliation. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. But God had used the death of Jesus, his broken body and the shed blood, to reconcile us. And this is done in remembrance of Christ. Let's partake together. Heavenly Father, we are so mindful of your goodness, of your blessing in sending Jesus. You said in your word that you were going to mend the hearts of the younger to the fathers again. You were going to do a work of ministry in their hearts and in their lives. And I thank you, Lord, for this covenant meal. We thank you for the broken body and for the blood that was shed for us. Spirit of truth, I ask that you would reveal the truth of your word to each one bowed in your presence. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and take some time to thank the Lord for what he's done for you. Please stand with me. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would bless these, your people. I ask that you would bless them in their rising up and their sitting down, in their going out and their coming in. I ask that you would bless the works of their hands. I ask, Lord, that you would help them in their relationships with those that are a part of their families. I ask that you would help us, Lord, in the relationship of our believing family that's a part of this church. And we ask, Lord, that you would unify those that are part of your body in this area, in Carlton County, in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that the light of your countenance would shine through their lives as they enter this mission field. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and give you honor and glory. Amen. The Lord bless you.